song, and I love how I could hear so many of your individual voices as you sang together. It's a blessing. I wanted to open with that because the illustration I'm going to open with is not so uplifting. Did you know that it's been reported that every 8.6 seconds, someone dies from starvation? Scary. Every minute, 7 people die in underdeveloped countries as a result of illnesses related to malnutrition. That would be 417 deaths every hour. It is a scary world that we live in. And we never know how much time we have left to prepare. We're all going to live once, right? We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back during our lifetime. The message today is all about that. The text today is all about that. True disciples are always ready to meet Jesus. Always ready for him to come back or for us to go to him. And the reason we're ready to meet Jesus is we know the urgency of the problem, how critical it is for us to constantly be ready, to be prepared. And I think the question that God is asking us today in this scripture is a question that each of us needs to answer on our own. And that question is, are you prepared to meet Jesus? It's an important question. I'm not going to ask you to answer it right now. But if you'd like to talk about it later, I'd love to have that conversation with you. Divided over Jesus. Luke 12, 51 to 52. Do you think that I came here to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. We think of Jesus as bringing peace. Amen? When Jesus was born, what did the angels say to the shepherds? In Luke 2:14, they said, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And the New Testament tells us to live a peaceful life. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God speaks harshly against a spirit of contention that divides people unnecessarily. And Jesus himself, he wasn't argumentative. He was peaceful and kind. John 3:16-17 is a verse that we all love, right? For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God sent Jesus to save the entire world. Yet Jesus also divides that world by his very presence. Anyone who believes in him, John 3:18 continues, is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Jesus offers peace with God, but anyone who decided not to follow Jesus already stood condemned, stands condemned before God. So how is the Prince of Peace also the great divider? It's because a true peace is only available to those that surrender their rebellion against God and accept Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Jesus divides everybody, the entire world, into two camps. Those who follow Jesus in their heart, doing what he commands, who are adopted into the family of God and receive that unearned gift of eternal life and enjoy peace with God. The other group also lives forever, but it isn't a gift. They earn that penalty of their sin and they live forever in hell. The most painful example of this division, I believe, is when families are divided amongst themselves in their love of Jesus. It brings pain. Parents against children, siblings against siblings. I find it interesting that Jesus didn't say husband against wife. I'm not sure what it means, but it's something I'm going to be looking into. I think it's an interesting omission. If you have thoughts on it, I'd love to hear your perspective. There are many places, though, in this world where a person's decision to follow Christ means that they automatically damage their family relationships with people that don't. There are places in this world, the very worst spots, where parents will try to kill their children for making that decision or treat them as if they're effectively dead, just cut them off totally. Even in Rhode Island, this decision to follow Christ can introduce awkwardness into the life of a family or tensions into marriage, and they're difficult to deal with. But Jesus is making this point that regardless of the tension, the difficulty, or the trial, it is important for you to end up in the right group, to stand with Jesus and not against him. Might lose our family, but that's not a good enough reason to not follow. We may lose our friends. Still not a reason not to follow, right? And there is no cost too high. We should be willing to pay it to follow. Now, there's always going to be tension between people who follow Jesus and those who don't know God. And it's important to remember that Jesus himself isn't the cause of that division, right? That division is caused by us and our sin. But he is the reason why people divide. You're either with Jesus or you're against him. There is nothing in the middle. You're either with him or you're against him. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening. They lived in paradise till their sin resulted in them being cast out of the garden. This has been in the Bible forever. Old Testament, New Testament. There's always been this division between following God and rebelling against him. Think of the people that mocked Noah for building a boat in the middle of dry land. And they mocked him until they were outside that boat. Noah and his family was inside that boat. It's a division. God's covenant with Abraham divided people up into either circumcised members of Abraham's family or they were cut off from God's people. Division, in or out. Ephesians 2:19, Paul says, so you are no longer foreigners or strangers, the people that are out, but fellow citizens with the saints, the people who are in, and are members of God's household. We seem to prefer to dwell on Jesus being the Prince of Peace, but we can never forget that the peace on earth is only available to the people whom God favors, the people whom God has changed to give us the ability to follow his word. God has to, must punish unrepentant sin. Amen? Can't allow it to continue. And obviously, that calls for an urgent response to a deadly threat. We have to respond. We must be prepared to meet Jesus. Got to be ready. Luke 12:54-55. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say a storm is coming, and so it does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. God created this world and everything in it. Amen? And when he created it, he installed these laws that allow us to understand the patterns, even the weather that's going on around us, to see how it works. And Jesus was speaking of a common weather pattern in that place that his hearers would readily recognize and understand. If I said red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailor's warning, you'd understand what I meant, right? Storms are coming. Islanders, well, Rhode Islanders in general, don't need to really watch the news. You know a storm is coming when you see Stop and Shop overflowing and people coming out with a month's worth of milk and bread. We plan our clothing and our activities according to the weather that we know we will have. We have a reasonable idea what's going to come. Jesus continues in verse 56, hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why don't you know how to interpret the present time? What's hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is the characteristic of acting in a way that's inconsistent with one's character, belief system, or speech. It's acting in opposition to truth. In order for the failure to understand the time that they lived in to be hypocrisy, they needed to be pretending not to understand. There was no reason for them not to understand. Intentionally acting like they didn't know better. It's hypocrisy to pretend like you don't know that storm is coming when you see the people running into Stop and Shop. It's hypocrisy not to be ready for the winter with a full oil tank because you know it's going to be cold. You can't pretend that you weren't warned. Are you prepared in that way to meet Jesus? Remembering that salvation isn't the end of that journey, just the beginning. Now, if you don't have that saving relationship with Jesus, absolutely take that first step. And if anybody wishes to talk about, am I saved, or has questions about whether I'm saved, I want to talk with you. The deacons want to talk to you. There are many people in this church that want to talk with you. But if you have surrendered, you still have preparing to do. Possibly you have even more reason to be preparing, to make sure that you are ready to meet Jesus. God's word tells tells us that everybody can tell what is coming because God wants them to know that he is and that he is coming. God wants us to be prepared for what is coming. Romans 1, 18 to 22, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Since what can be known about God is evident about among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. And as a result, people are without excuse. You have no excuse if you're not prepared. For though they knew God, they didn't glorify him or show him gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Luke records the words that God gave John the Baptist, which had been given long before that to Isaiah in Luke 3:4, as it is written in the books of the word to the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. What does that mean? To prepare the path to make it straight means to remove the obstacles that stand between you and God. Now, we can't get right with God on our own, but we can certainly work on the obstacles that God has shown us are standing between us and him and do our best, make every effort to remove them. There is work that we can influence. There are choices that we can make. And we must do these things with intensity, an intensity that recognizes the danger that we find ourselves in if we don't prepare. So prepare now. Luke 12:57 to 59. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Are you going with your adversary to the ruler? Make an effort to settle with him on the way. Then he won't drag you before the judge. The judge hands you over to the bailiff, and the bailiff throw you into prison. I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. In our culture, going to court over an argument can be dangerous, amen? Even if we feel that our case has good legal standing, there's always a potential that the court will rule against us. Jesus is saying, hey, you know that you are wrong, children. You know that you deserve this judgment. You know that you are sinning. You know that you have sinned and deserve nothing more than death, physical and spiritual. You know it. I know it. God knows it. So why leave it in the hands of the judge? There isn't just a possibility that he's going to convict you. You are not going to stand before God on your own righteousness and leave happy. And each and every person is going to stand before the judge in that courtroom. Hebrews 9:27, and it's appointed for people to die once. And after this judgment, Luke 12:4 to 5 says, I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will show you the one to fear. Fear him who has the authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. What's our response to this? Our response to this has to be, must be, to prepare quickly. To choose well and wisely. We need to be prepared to follow Jesus step by step. And that's our application for this passage. A few thousand years doesn't affect God's truth. What Jesus said to his hearers back then is true for us today. We know that following Jesus is going to create tension, maybe even outright hostility with our friends and family that don't know Jesus, that don't follow him. And if you've never experienced this, Well, I can only think of two reasons why. Either you need to make some acquaintances outside of the family of God, or maybe you're not following God the way God wants us to follow Jesus. Jesus teaches that it is more important to get right with God than to please our families. And if our friends no longer accept us because Jesus takes first place, then they must leave us. We cannot, we must not leave Jesus. At the same time, we've got to remember that he loved us and he gave himself for us, and we have to abide in him, but we cannot stop loving, caring, and interacting with the people around us. Jesus died for us while we were his enemy. We should not cut people off because they don't follow God and are our enemy. We should try to share with them. We need to continue loving them, praying for them, and encouraging them to change their mind. Judgment Day is coming. The sin of the world is going to bring a day of judgment. And there will be eternal division, division that cannot be changed. If the day you are judged, you are not judged true, you're going to end up in hell forever. No take backs, no getting it right a second time, no other opportunities. Jesus says you will be in jail until you paid the price. You can't pay that price. The only person who can pay that price is Jesus, and he paid it for us. But we need to be prepared. We need to have accepted that before that day of judgment. Only people who have accepted the mercy, the gift that God offered us, get that gift of eternal life. Who likes to talk about hell? Who wants to mention it to anybody? Who wants to point out that there is this division between people who love and serve God and those that don't? Very few people want to say it. And nobody that doesn't follow God wants to hear it. But isn't that the power of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? There's no passage in the Bible that says that you have a second chance after death. Heaven and hell are real. Jesus talked about them and the blessing or punishment that comes with going to heaven or being sent to hell never ends. They're not popular, but they should drive our thoughts and our actions in how we reach the community around us. Don't try to soften God's truth to make it easier for people to believe. Too many of our churches seemed scared to mention sin, much less preach gospel truth that we need to repent of our sin to avoid punishment and hell. But when we avoid proclaiming that full message of God, either in our churches or in our personal evangelism, we're distorting that message that God has given us to proclaim. If you don't need Jesus to reach heaven, then he becomes a helper instead of a savior. To remove the truth that we are sinners removes the grace and mercy of salvation. So people might prefer to think that they are good and that they can earn heaven by living right, but the powerful truth of God is that he has paid the debt for our failure. He's washed it white as snow, and he did it in the only way possible by his son dying on the cross. Proclaiming God's love while ignoring our sin removes the need or the desire to change. So we need to show this in the same way that God has shown it to us. We need to show it in love, with gentleness and patience, but we need to say the whole gospel. There are a lot of churches on the island right now where today people will walk out feeling very good about themselves. And that's sad if they don't understand the need for repentance. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this message that you've given. Thank you for this truth that you prepare us with, the warnings that you give. Lord, let us use your word to draw close to you. May we be blessed by you. And may our efforts to reach the community around us be blessed as well. All right, just a reminder, in the bulletin, I have that handout. And in that handout, there is the scriptures that we read during the